And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi. Today we're going to be discussing...
Wow!
I don't know what just happened, ladies and gentlemen.
10 signs that you're aging poorly and what you can do to reverse them.
Oh, wow. She had that all prepared. She almost got there. She didn't almost get there.
No,
she failed miserably.
If which is why I normally just say hi.
If you could have just seen her face, her eyebrows lit way up. She got all excited. Wow. That's awesome. You want to try that again?
No.
Okay, fail. Fair enough. Failed. But yes, we are going to be talking about signs that you're aging poorly. I think this is a really cool topic. I think all of our topics are really cool.
I know you do. I think this is a really cool topic. Some of them,
yes,
you're more into than I am.
Yeah, and we might actually get Aaron to be talking about this one a little more, because this one, you know, this is stuff that you see just walking down the street. You don't have to, yeah, you know, be a doctor.
You be careful what you say here, because we're talking about aging. So, Aaron's gonna have a lot to say about this.
But you don't have to be a doctor to see that, you know, someone is obviously walking in pain and, you know, they shouldn't be or they don't need to be, that kind of thing. But so talking about aging, so there's a lot of money. Anti-aging and looking outward signs of appearance and outward anti-aging thing. That's $140 billion spent in 2015 just on outward appearance of aging. So we're talking about things like Botox, filler, tanning. What else is in there? There's tons of stuff that's involved in outward expressions of aging.
Probably, yeah, any cosmetic procedures.
Yeah.
Teeth
whitening, that would be one.
And fake teeth and, you know, yeah, like all the stuff that, I mean, I'm just thinking.
Going down to get my fake teeth.
You set that up. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. But anyway, by 2021, the number is expected to skyrocket to more than 216 million.
Billion.
Billion, I mean. See? I'll keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. Started. But I mean, that's a huge increase in not that many years. I mean, we're just talking about, you know, another 4 or 5 years, and we're going to have a massive increase in spending on cosmetics. I think a lot of that has to do with two things, really, that I think that has to do with. One, ease of accessibility. So people can, they're more outward about it. You're seeing more doctors, you know, advertising that I do anti-aging therapies,
right,
and we do these things for you. And two, I think that people are getting so much sicker, so much younger in life, and they look older than they really truly are, and they can't handle that.
Right.
And they want to look younger. And every star that you see on TV, they're always, you know, young as can be, or, you know, even if you have a star that's an older celebrity, they look like they haven't aged.
Right.
And so everyone thinks that they need to look like that. And I think that's a big deal. But
well, and I think, you know, I really want to kind of, you know, bring this full circle. We're talking about, you know, outward appearance. Are what we really want to focus on today are things that, you know, you can see outwardly, but all of this starts internally.
Correct.
And that's really why we, you know, we have a huge population of our clients, a huge percentage of our clients that come in because of, you know, things that they can see on the outside. You know, they feel like their skin is more wrinkled, or they are, you know, gaining weight, or whatever the, you know, problem may be, but it's outward appearance. And, you know, we're a great place to start because, yeah, we can tell you, okay, what's going on internally that has led to those conditions.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're seeing more and more stuff with cosmetics. I mean, it's a huge thing. You're seeing this all over. You go to a cosmetic counter in any store, and you're going to see anti-aging this, you know, miracle serum that, you know, they're just going after this stuff. Well, there was a clinical trial that was done. And what they did is they tested biologic age on people, the biological age of individuals. And what they defined that as is, quote, declining integrity of multiple organ systems, right? The scientists published these results in 2015, and they showed that people with higher biological ages had more, they suffered more from lost physical mobility, They had more mental decline, and they reported worse health in general, and they even looked older than people who had not advanced biologic ages, younger biological ages.
Right. Well, and I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think about, you know, like, well, even my own mother, like, and thinking about her and, you know, what her age is. If you compare her to a lot of other people her age, you wouldn't think that she's, you know, and I don't want to say as old as she is, but I just did. But I mean, you know, like, you wouldn't. But I think as we age, the, you know, the difference between someone who is healthy and someone who is unhealthy is that much more apparent.
Moving right along.
Is that not true?
Well, I think it's absolutely true, but I'm not touching talking about your mother on air.
Right.
I love your mother to death, but I'm not going to talk about that. But you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right.
But
I mean,
I'm just saying as an example, I mean, yeah. Like you can, you know, if you compare someone who is of healthy age and, you know, and it's different. Someone who is healthy in their 20s and someone who's unhealthy in their 20s may not look that different.
Right.
You know, but if you keep increasing,
you get
that,
somebody in their 80s or 90s.
Right. Which my healthy. Mother is not.
Right. I wanted to go way above, way above. But if you want to, if you look at somebody that's in their 90s that is healthy versus someone that's not, I mean, you can tell a clear difference.
Vast difference.
And likely the unhealthy one is not alive in their 90s.
That's
let's
true.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, right? So you really get into this when you, you know, people start reaching, you know, middle age, 50s to 60s, and you're really starting to see a difference.
Massive decline.
And that's really what we want to talk about today.
I think you're seeing it even younger.
Oh, I do
think
too,
we're seeing
at this
it in
point.
The mid-30s, even early 40s.
Right.
So I think it's coming younger and younger. But again, nothing is going to reverse aging. We're not going to be able to reverse aging entirely. I mean, your DNA structure has kind of set some of this up. But we are not what our DNA says that we are. We are a product of the choices that we make that impact what our DNA does, right? You know, you can have a car, treat it like crazy, you know, take wonderful care of it, and that car could last you for, you know, a million miles. Or you could take a car out, never change the oil, never change the tires, and just drive that thing until, you know, into the ground, and it doesn't last you 50,000 miles.
Right.
And it's the exact same car. I mean, it really, truly coincides with how we take care of ourselves as humans.
Right.
Same type of thing.
And I think, you know, I mean, today what we really want to talk about is, I mean, what are some things that you can point to and say, okay, these are showing that I'm not aging well? Because let's face it, you can be, because of all of the advancements in cosmetic procedures and cosmetics in general, you can look like you're a lot healthier than you are.
Right.
And so, and sometimes that can be deceiving because you may not realize that you are actually, you know, suffering from some, you know, major health issues.
Pressure. Yeah, that's exactly right. One of the big ones is joint pain.
Right.
That's a huge one. I mean, I can't tell you how many people come into the clinic and they're like, my joints hurt, my hands hurt, my knees hurt, my elbows hurt, my shoulders hurt. Well, something is wrong. You're starting to fall apart. You know, maybe you've got arthritis. Maybe you've got degenerative joint disease. I mean, but I can guarantee you that pain, you've got inflammation somewhere going on.
And this is not just aging. And that's really what we want
right.
to, you know, go through today are these are things that are saying that are showing that you are aging poorly, not just the fact that you are aging.
Right.
I mean, that there is a difference. And I think a lot of people when they, you know, I mean, start getting up there in age are just thinking this just happens.
Yeah,
well, you know
just
what?
Getting
it
older.
Doesn't.
Just getting older. We were talking about that with
doesn't
the patient.
Doesn't have to.
We were talking about that with the patient in the clinic this last week. You know, I'm just getting older. No, that doesn't mean that your knees have to hurt.
Right. That's an excuse.
Right. Something is wrong. Let's fix it. There's a problem.
Right. That should, I mean, with these things that we're going over, these things should make you curious to find out, okay, what is going on? What's the underlying cause? It's not, you know, well, it is what it is,
right.
Basically.
That's never the answer. But another one, and this one is monstrous, fatigue and bad sleep habits. I can't, again, so many people come in and they talk about how tired they are. We had a lady just a week or two ago talking about how she was so tired, and she's been on a journey to get well and has been doing things, but you know, something is being missed, and we've got to figure out what this is, because she wants to literally wants to take a nap every afternoon.
Yeah.
She's like, if I don't lay down and take a nap, I'm just ruined. And I mean, this is not someone who you would expect to need a nap.
And I think, you know, and that's something that's where people start getting frustrated, because a lot of people who have been active throughout their life, you know, reach their, you know, 50s or 60s or even 70s and all of a sudden are really tired. OK, right. Well, then there's something else going on. Again, this isn't just aging.
Right.
And it's not just, you know, having trouble falling asleep. You know, a lot of people as they get older will complain of, well, I wake up in the middle of the night.
Right.
A bunch of times. Okay, well, that's a sign.
Right.
That's a sign that something else is going on.
Something's wrong. Could be something as simple as sleep apnea.
Right.
That is really not that difficult of a deal to fix. But it could be hormone imbalances. I mean, there's so many different things.
And that's why, you know, and that's really, if you're experiencing fatigue, especially chronic fatigue, that's one of the big reasons why you should try to find a functional medicine doctor, because there are just too many conditions that could be leading to fatigue. And if you don't have a doctor who's going to go to bat for you and figure it out, you're going to spin your wheels for a really long time.
Right. The number one symptom out there is fatigue. The number one sign is inflammation. That's for any and all disease. Number one symptom is fatigue. Number one sign is inflammation. Write it down, memorize it, walk around with it. If you're tired, you've likely got inflammation going on somewhere, somehow, some way. You've got an issue. All right, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we are going to continue on with signs of aging poorly. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Dr. TJ from the Institute of Natural Health. And with me, as always, is Aaron.
Chronic inflammation. Is next.
Oh, that's what we've been talking about today. It's awesome. We've been talking about signs of aging poorly, and the next topic is chronic inflammation. It's so funny. She just went right
back
into
to
it.
Back to you, TJ.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know what to do. So chronic inflammation. So inflammation, as you know, and we just talked about this right before the break, it's implicated in all diseases. A lot of places will just say most, because they're like, well, there's got to be something out there that you don't have inflammation. Well, I don't know that. I haven't found one. But inflammation, the longer we live, the more likely our inflammation levels will go up. And that's why you see things like systemic inflammation and autoimmune conditions be early signs of aging. So when we have autoimmune conditions, you know, it used to be you wouldn't see an autoimmune condition until someone, you know, was older, if it weren't like a type 1 diabetes type thing that happened when they were really, really young. You would see these develop older. The problem is we're seeing more and more autoimmune conditions happening at younger and younger ages. And that's just a sign that that person is aging much, much faster than, you know, their counterparts who don't have an autoimmune condition. That's a big deal. I mean, we're seeing kids, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old with autoimmune diseases. I mean, this is a big problem that needs to be addressed.
Which is one of the reasons why, you know, so many of the things that we talk about on here are directed towards adults. It is so great when we see families come into our office and say, you know, and a lot of times if the kids are brought in, there is an issue where they're like, you know, hey, I want, you know, this is why I'm in here. But we do get families who come in and say, I just want to make sure everyone's healthy. Mm-hmm. You know how great that is?
Yeah.
I mean, because if there are any issues, they're minor issues.
We have high fives and a dance party when they come in like that. Mm-hmm. It's excited because they're taking
no
steps.
There's no greater gift you can give to your kids.
Than
I mean,
health.
There really isn't.
No. Lots of love and health. Take care of them.
And health.
Feed them good food.
Right.
Take care of them. Make sure they get outside, get some sunlight and exercise. But with this inflammation, you know, we're talking about things like leaky gut and autoimmune. Autoimmune is, you have to have a leaky gut if you're going to have autoimmune. So if you're out there suffering from autoimmune condition, just know that one of the things that you have going on is leaky gut, period. Cut and dried. It's one of the three things that you have to have. And I mean, common signs of leaky gut, we've talked about it a million times, digestive issues, food sensitivities, you eat something and it aggravates you, thyroid dysfunction, having various nutritional deficiencies. If you have mood issues, like flip a switch and you're angry, or, you know, you're crying at the drop of a hat, that's an issue. Being tired, fatigue, we just talked about fatigue, inflammatory skin problems, acne, psoriasis, eczema, these types of things. These are all indications that you're dealing with some sort of leaky gut, which is from a chronic inflammatory response.
Which is one of the reasons why, you know, that's one of the big places where we start in the clinic is with the gut, because so many things lead back to the gut.
Right. That's our biggest barrier. It's how we absorb our nutrition. And if how you absorb nutrition is on fire because it's inflamed and burning down, how well are we going to absorb those nutrients? Well, I'll give you a little hint. We're not. And so then you start getting into nutritional deficiency problems, and now your body doesn't have enough nutrients to do the chemical reactions that it needs to be as healthy as it could possibly be, and we just fall apart slowly but surely. Right. Okay. So moving right along, so the next one that's on the list is brain fog, and that goes right along with leaky gut. If you have brain fog, you likely have leaky gut as well. But people that have brain fog, if you're dealing with brain fog, it's, you know, losing words, it's confusion, it's an inability to concentrate or think, being forgetful, having lots and lots of headaches, having like this sense of mild depression where you're just like, well, I don't really feel depressed,
right.
But
sort
I don't
of
feel
lack
right.
Of motivation.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the same thing. It's not, it's not a what we think of as depression, but just, not feeling excited about things, you
right.
know, just kind of not motivated to do what you would have been doing before.
And another piece here is insomnia. And for as tired as we are as a country, I'm actually amazed at the number of people who basically have insomnia. They just don't sleep. They tell me they don't sleep. And it's not for lack of trying. They will go to bed, they will fall asleep, and they'll wake up in an hour and then be up for 4 hours and then fall back asleep. And then be asleep for a couple hours and then wake up and they're up for the day and they feel like they're not rested. Or they go to sleep and they wake up the next morning and it's like they never went to sleep. They're just as tired after they got up as they were when they went to bed. Or they literally can't sleep at all. They may go hours and hours and hours and be relying on medications and things to be able to sleep. So I mean,
we're talking about brain fog, right?
Yeah, but we're talking about the insomnia associated with brain fog. People don't associate insomnia and brain fog as the same thing as a sign of aging.
Well, I mean, and I think with brain fog, that's one that is oftentimes people just think of, again, that is part of aging.
Right.
You know, like, oh, I'm just not as quick as I used to be. I think that's important to note that this is a sign that you are aging poorly. It is not just a sign that you are aging. There is a difference.
There is a difference. Another one is weight gain. And this is, I think a lot of people can resonate with this. We used to, we believe, and still I think some people believe that, I'm going to gain a certain amount of weight as I get older, and that's just part of aging. Well, it's not. You shouldn't be gaining a lot of weight. A pound or two here and there, that's one thing. But,
if 1 pound every year or two is considered within, a normal part of, once you're starting to age, and of course that'll then go back down when you hit a certain age. But
right.
I mean, like, but it's not, that's not the kind of weight gain that most people are experiencing that we are saying is not a sign of just aging.
Right. Yeah, we're talking about, people gaining, abdominal weight, waking up one day and realizing that, you've gained 50 pounds over the course of the last year. I mean, this is not normal.
Yeah. Noticing that when you're 60, you are, 10, 15 pounds heavier than you were when you were 50.
Right.
Like that's not,
a problem.
That's a problem.
So, yeah, because I think we're so used to seeing, two-thirds of the population, 66% of the population is overweight and obese. And like I've said on this show before, healthy people are not overweight or obese, and you cannot be healthy if you are overweight or obese. So things have to change. You're definitely not aging well if you're if you're overweight or gaining weight.
Right.
You're just not. There are other things that are breaking down, and you're going to have issues that you're going to have to deal with at some point.
And if you know that you're carrying a little extra weight, you know, my advice is go online, find out what, you know, how to figure your BMI and calculate out what it is.
Your body mass index.
All right. A lot of people have no idea. They're shocked to find out that they are, you know, even in the obese category.
Right.
And it's like they had no idea. They're like, I knew I had a few extra pounds on me. But I think a lot of people don't know where they actually stand right. on that. Because, you know, maybe they're around people who are a little bigger, or it's crept up on them slowly and they didn't really notice.
Right.
But a lot of people are shocked to find out that they're in the obese category.
Right. So and it's just one of those things. The more active you are, the likelihood is you're going to not be gaining weight. But, you know, when you are gaining weight, that's a sign of poor aging.
Right.
Next on the list is varicose veins. So we all know what varicose veins look like. They're those, you know, purpley, bluish, bulging veins on people's legs that we see. Those things, for those of you who don't suffer from something like that, just so you know, those things can be extremely painful for people who are dealing with varicose veins. It's a very, very painful deal. But up to 50% of people over the age of 50 are dealing with varicose veins to some level. And I think that's really bad. I mean, there are reasons for developing varicose veins. I mean, we can have things like hormone imbalances that throw this stuff off. We can lose blood vessel integrity because of lack of nutrition. That's a really big one. I don't think people realize how much nutrition plays a role
right.
in blood vessel health and integrity.
And listen, varicose veins, there is a genetic component to this. You
yep.
can be predisposed to them,
yep.
but it is epigenetic in like there are things that you can do to prevent that you from getting it.
Right.
So just because you have a predisposition genetically does not mean that you're destined to have varicose veins.
Right.
I think that should be, you know, a comfort to a lot of people. Hey, there's something I can do
right.
because you aren't destined to have it if you do what you need to do to prevent it.
Right. And the other thing with varicose veins is, you know, the people that have them, it's indicative. Usually people that have them have a portion of their life or they spent most of their life very sedentary,
yes.
meaning very inactive. And when people have varicose veins, they actually have a higher risk of heart disease and that's a big deal. That's one of the things. If someone has heart disease or has varicose veins, we're looking in depth to figure out do they have heart disease or not. That's a key piece of the puzzle that we really want to pay attention to. And then we got to take another break before we get into the next one. That's where I was ready to transition, and we'll just wait until after the break. We've got a couple more of these that I want to touch on before we get out of here for the day. So if you have any questions or anything, look us up, want more information, the Institute of Natural Health, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. You're listening to Wellness 101. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking today about signs of aging poorly, and we've gone through a few things, and you know, we're just, rather than rehash, we're just going to pick up. So the next one on the list is skin and appearance changes. So typically when we think of aging poorly, we can look at someone and basically say, whoa, they look a lot older, you know, they look really old, or they look really young.
Right.
And
well, this one is probably one of the most obvious ways.
Yes, very obvious. That's what I was trying to get to.
Obvious.
Thanks. Obvious. It took me a lot of words to get to obvious. Good job, TJ.
Yeah, well, it's an outward sign to
yes, and that's what people care about.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, it's not the only thing.
That's why cosmetics are such a huge industry.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's obviously the other issues that we've talked about and will talk about are big deals as well. But, I mean, this is something that not only you will notice, but those around you will notice also.
Right. So, you know, your skin is affected by a lot of different things. You know, as we age, we can develop things like sunspots, or our skin can become very patchy looking. People complain of itchiness, or they get wrinkles, and just basic general overall sagging skin. And this stuff is just really due to, you know, really poor nutrition, not having enough vitamins, minerals, proteins to keep the skin youthful looking. And a big piece of this, this is big news, hydration.
Right.
Having enough fluid in your body. No one seems to drink enough water. Everyone's like, oh, I don't like water. Well, guess what? The fact that you don't like water, your body doesn't like you for not liking water.
Right. Although water in itself is not going to be enough to undo some of this. I mean, that's why we do IV nutrition in our office. That's right. Why so many people are thrilled with how their skin looks after they get IVs, when that a lot of times is not what brought them in.
Right.
But you can actually see a difference.
It's a positive side effect.
And while, you know, some skin and appearance changes are normal for as you get older, there is, you know, I mean, it should not be significant as you continue to age. I mean, you should be a slow progression. And a lot of times with people, it isn't.
Right.
And a lot of times they attribute it to simple aging when there are other things going on.
Right. Right. Exactly. So next on the list is dementia. So dementia is a lot. There's a lot of things that go along with dementia. And, you know, things like Alzheimer's disease is a big one. I mean, there's frontal lobar degeneration. Yes, degeneration. It's a big word. It's kind of like obvious. Yes, kind of like obvious. So dementia is a big one. It's not. People want to throw out there, well, he's getting older. It's time for, you know, dementia. Or someone gets dementia, like, well, he's just old. That's not a normal thing that goes with aging. There's something that has happened. I mean, there are researchers out there showing that the diet and inflammation, a person's activity level, the job that a person has, and gut health all contribute to whether or not someone will develop dementia. Someone who uses their brain on a daily basis is much less likely to develop dementia than someone who doesn't. Someone who has a mindless, repetitive job is more likely to develop dementia than someone who's having to read, think, learn, maneuver, do things with their mind in different ways.
Which is why, you know, they say if you're doing, you know, even playing, you know, puzzles and doing things, you know, just keeping your mind somewhat active. And
there are a lot of brain apps out there that do just that.
Exactly, for that reason. And I think that it makes sense if you really think about it, because we all know, or at least have heard of, people who are late into their 90s and are extremely sharp and have no problems. And then there are people who develop dementia in, you know, their 70s or even earlier.
Right. Well, who is it on the morning show that celebrates everybody's 100th birthday?
Al Roker,
that's right.
It used to be
the other guy.
Willard Scott,
look at you, Willard Scott. But they will, once in a while, when someone is like 106, they will throw out there, you know, they attribute their long life to, you know, not drinking and
a lot of activity and a lot of reading.
Funny.
Like,
yeah, sometimes it's funny.
Drinking and...
But that's more normal aging. We're supposed to live to be 100. We're not supposed to, you know, die at falling apart, losing our minds at, you know, 60. That's just not what's supposed to happen.
Right.
Another sign of poor aging is having digestive issues. So common digestive issues are things like constipation, diarrhea. We can have bacterial overgrowth. So our microbiome, our gut bacteria balance gets out of whack. Diverticulitis is another one.
It's becoming extremely common, especially as we age.
And same way with ulcers and heartburn.
Yes.
And GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease.
Polyps
are found all over the place when they do colonoscopies. They just take them out and test them, and, you know, it's no big thing. Well, why did you develop the polyp?
Exactly.
That's not
it
normal.
Is. And also, I mean, just poor nutrient absorption.
Yes.
And that's something that a lot of people don't know until they come into our office and we say, you're not absorbing anything.
Right. That's exactly right. So, you know, this isn't... What happens when we age is our gut stomach produces less hydrochloric acid. That's just a normal part of aging. That's the most common symptom of aging, or gut disease of aging, is atrophic gastritis. This is according to Cleveland Medical, the Cleveland Clinic, and their medical research there. This is a big deal, because that means that people have decreased gut function. So we're going to have decreased digestion, decreased ability to absorb nutrients. We're going to have increased things like constipation and or diarrhea. We're going to have bigger problems just based on our body not doing stuff. That's what happens. And it shouldn't be that we just all of a sudden, you know, say, oh, well, that's just part of aging. Well, yeah, but you can do things to help increase that stomach acid, being active, eating proper diet, not eating a bunch of processed garbage.
Right.
I mean, that's a big deal.
And remember that what we're talking about today are not just signs of aging. They're signs that you're aging poorly. So the fact that you have digestive issues, I mean, we're saying this is not just a part of aging. It's a sign that something is going wrong.
Right. The next one.
The last one.
The last one, we're not going to talk a long time about it, but it's hearing loss. A lot of people have this common misperception that as you age, you lose your hearing, and that's not really true. There are lots of different ways of losing your hearing. Of course, if you worked a job where you were just around a loud noise all day, every day, and you didn't protect your ears, well, of course you're going to have hearing loss. But if you worked in an office that was relatively quiet and you're losing your hearing, that's not normal.
And you did not just draw the hearing loss card.
Right.
Because that's what people think.
Right.
Like, oh, well, that's too bad. You know, that was luck of the draw.
Right.
And it's not.
It's not. This stuff is, research shows that this is related to oxidative stress. So this is chronic free radical damage taking place in the body. And so this is a sign of aging poorly. So now that we're done with all that, how do we slow aging down? This is the meat and the potatoes of what we're trying to get to.
Right, this is what everyone wants to know.
This is
right?
What everybody wants to know. So thanks for listening up until this point where you can actually get out your notes and say, okay, all right, what do I do? Well, the first and foremost, find a functional medicine practitioner.
Right, and that it doesn't have to be us.
No.
It just, you need to find somebody who not only practices functional medicine, but knows what they're doing. Because I
right.
know we've talked about that a lot before, but there are a lot of people claiming to be functional medicine practitioners that do not have the knowledge to do it.
Right.
And you need to make sure that they have a certification and that they have been in practice for quite a while so that they've seen enough patients that they know what to do. Because a lot of the patients that come into our clinic and have said, well, I saw a functional medicine practitioner before, have maybe gotten a diagnosis, but the practitioner did not know how to actually treat what they had.
Right.
So they were able to find the problem, but not treat the problem. You need to make sure you have someone who can do both.
Right. So, you know, there are inflammatory markers that you're hoping that they run. Things like 8-OHDG, that's a marker of free radical damage. Another one is malondialdehyde. It doesn't really matter which or if they run one or the other, but something like that. Things like high sensitivity C-reactive protein, sedimentation rate, looking at your insulin, your hemoglobin A1C, your blood sugar handling, all of these things play a role and are big pieces of the puzzle when trying to figure out what's going on. And then getting into hormones. I mean, hormones are critical. And I mean, yes, there are some things that can be done naturally to help hormones. But a lot of times we find in our clinic that people need hormone replacement therapy. It helps. And doing it correctly.
I was going to say, you need someone who is very highly trained in hormones because you can really get those messed up if the person doesn't know what they're doing.
Yes.
I mean, see it way more often than you would believe.
Right. They get way out of balance very, very quickly. And so, you know, that's a key piece of the puzzle. And then something that you can do at home before we take our next break. This is something we talk about on the show a lot, and that's eat an anti-inflammatory diet, something that supports the brain. Eating lots of anti-inflammatory foods, fruits, vegetables, you know, bone broths, spices, ginger, turmeric, making sure we're getting lots of good healthy fats in there, you know, coconut oil, ghee, grass-fed butter.
Right. And a lot of people ask, you know, what do I do? Do I go paleo? Do I go keto?
Either or.
Right. And they both will work, I mean, and work for different people.
Right.
And we can certainly help you figure that out, but there are benefits to both.
And you may want to go from one to the other and back and forth and maybe mix in a little Mediterranean. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm just, you know, hardcore keto. I'm hardcore paleo.
While you're keto, you need to be only keto.
Right.
You know, during that period
right.
of time.
Right. Exactly. So there are a lot of things, probiotic foods, things like sauerkraut, kimchi, stuff like that. I mean, we've talked about, we've beat the proper diet portion to death. We don't
right.
have to go over and over again with
and
that.
And we do get some questions. So certainly email us with questions if you have
if
more
you
questions
do.
About diet.
All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to continue on with things that you can do to slow down these signs of age that you're aging poorly. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in, this is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health. And today we've been talking about signs of aging poorly. We went through a lot of those, and now we're talking about how to slow aging. And in this last segment, we've got a couple more things that we can talk about as far as slowing down our aging. We talked about going to see a functional medicine doctor. That's a key piece of the puzzle. Finding someone who's on top of things, keeping up with stuff, and understands, you know, the human body in a way that most conventional doctors just don't grasp it. Because they've never been taught. And then we were talking about eating an anti-inflammatory diet that supports brain and brain function. And right before the break, we were talking about eating, switching between a ketogenic diet and a paleo diet. I'm a fan of both of those types of diets. But we get lots and lots of questions by our patients and even people that send in emails asking about essential oils. And essential oils can be very beneficial. But remember, my only advice on essential oils, and I don't know, I'm not the epitome of knowledge on essential oils. I know that they're beneficial. I don't have a problem when people use them. I think they're great. We diffuse them in the office.
Yeah. Generally, you don't have a problem when people use them.
Generally, I don't have a problem. Once in a while, we do.
When people are just going overboard, because there is a reason why people use them. They use them for an effect, and the fact that they can have an effect means that they can be misused. Right.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing that I like to point out to people that are using essential oils is basically we're taking the most potent part of the plant, concentrating it down to the most potent form that we can possibly have, and then that's what we're utilizing. So these things are extremely strong, and a lot of times people will, you know, they have a diffuser or whatever, and they diffuse 20, 30 drops at a time in a small room in their house when one drop was probably sufficient.
Right.
Because the body has to deal with that.
And then all of a sudden they're having these weird symptoms,
right.
And, you know, it's could be all tied back to the essential oils.
Correct.
On the flip side of that, I want to say that we also have people who come in and they're like, I don't want to, we don't need to talk about that issue. I'm handling it with essential oils.
Right.
A lot of times people don't realize that they are as sick as they are. And essential oils, I mean, there is a limit on what they're going to be able to do for you. There just are.
Right.
And so it's something that, you know, that's where we step in. So in general, essential oils can be very beneficial. They're gentler
right.
on their, you know, they're gentle on your system usually if you're using them appropriately, and they can help with a lot of things. And we have a lot of people who avoid taking any sort of over-the-counter medication for like small ailments because they're able to handle it with essential oils. Great.
Good for them.
Right. No, I mean, exactly. And that's, you know, I mean, I think that's a smart use of it. But yeah, just we can't misuse them or overuse them, and you can't expect them to do everything.
Right. That's exactly right. So that was my take on essential oils. I think they can be very beneficial when used properly. So then next on the list for slowing aging.
Well, before you go on to the next one, did you hit it all on supplements? I just think that, you know, we talked about eating a healthy diet, but also as we get older, you know, well, we really think you know, people of all ages
yes.
can benefit from supplementation. That's just a product of living in, you know, the day and age that we're living in.
Right.
But as you get older, and especially if you're dealing with any of these other issues, supplements become much more important.
Right. I take a pile of stuff every single day,
right.
have for a long time.
And a lot of people, that's why, you know, especially people, once they get in their 50s and 60s, come in and get IVs because it bypasses the digestive system. You're getting those nutrients right into your body. And they see massive differences.
Right. Huge.
You know, and I we have people of every age that are, you know, amazed at how they feel. But I think really, if you get someone who is in their 50s or 60s and is having gut dysfunction, they didn't realize that even if they're taking supplements, how little of it is actually getting into their system.
Right.
So once you get it through, you know, intravenously, it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I could feel this good.
Or getting them quality oral supplements. Lots and lots of people are just, you know, going to Walgreens or Walmart or CVS and they're buying their supplements there. They're just not the quality.
You get what you pay for.
That's exactly right. If you're buying 1,000 of something and it's $1, well, good luck with that.
Right.
So, all right, a couple last things on slowing aging. Staying active. Exercise is so important to slowing down aging. It's just extreme. Get out there, get off the couch. If you're sedentary, if you're not exercising now, just start walking and then work yourself into an exercise regimen.
Right.
Figure out something that works for you and do it on a daily basis.
And an exercise, you know, routine is of course ideal, but just getting up and moving. I mean, I think we all know people who are later in life and have never actually exercised, but have never really sat a ton.
Right.
You know, I know a lot of women who are that way and are, you know, extremely healthy into their, you know, 80s and 90s and, you know, would tell you, I've never exercised a day in my life, but they're caring for children and grandchildren. They're cooking, they're gardening, they're, you know, I mean, they're meeting up with friends, they're doing things that, you know, are not just sitting on the couch.
Right, right. So activity is huge. And then lastly is reducing stress. And we say that all the time. I mean, you're going to have to practice this. This is not something that comes natural to people. Exercise can help reduce stress. Things like, you know, yoga and Pilates. Prayer. Lots of people like to pray. Praying can reduce stress. Meditation, using things like acupuncture, going out and you know, spending time in nature. Go to a park.
Spending time with friends.
Yeah, hang out
with
friends.
Zoning out on your phone does not count ever under any circumstances.
Or zoning out in front of the TV
doesn't
count either. You've got to cut that stuff off. So those are things that you can do. I mean,
yes. We're
not going to be able to, you're not going to outrun Father Time.
But we can do a lot.
But
you
right,
know?
Right. We can do a lot.
Come, I mean, see us. We'll help you out.
That's right. There's lots of things that can be done. I mean, there's no reason to be aging poorly. You might as well, if you're going to age, and we all are, let's do it as gracefully as we possibly can
right. And
stay as healthy as we can as long as we can. A lot of these chronic diseases are preventable if you're in the right place that knows what they're looking for that can help you out.
Right.
All right. Well, that's about all the time that we have for today. If you would like more information, visit our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Give us a call, 314-293-8123. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're out there. We're constantly posting stuff. You know, we love to hear from you. Send us questions, comments, emails. We'll do our best to address those. So that's all for today. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.